بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 16th session, reading from the commentaries related to Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah مع الإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد بن سلامة الطحاوي رحمه الله. And the topic under discussion has been the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah related to the Quran being the speech of Allah. Before we look at tonight's topic, which is the completion, or tonight's what we're going to be completing tonight, we're going to look at some of the topics we discussed in the previous session from the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 15. First question being, mentioned the third part of the 33rd statement of the author Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. Yani the 33rd statement has been divided by Al-Imam Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, into 9 parts. This question is related to the third part of the 33rd statement, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan's Arabic edition is numbered as 47. If you're reading from the English translation, it's numbered as 46. What is the third part of the 33rd statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi? Naam, Fadl. Okay, the believer is attest to it being the absolute truth. Anybody want to tell us what he said in Arabic? Yeah, Fadl.
وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَقًّا
حَقًّا, نعم. Now, somebody had their hand back there? Also? Huh? Oh, okay. So, just for clarification of this point, which we mentioned last week, so we're not going to go into any detail, but the point here, صَدَّقَهُ يعني الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers testified to the truthfulness of what is said about the Qur'an. That is the speech of Allah, that Allah spoke, yani the Qur'an, and that He revealed it to the Prophet Muhammad as revelation. Yani the believers testified to the truth of all of that, that it is as, yani what was stated previously. Question number 2, how does Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, explain the words, yani in Arabic, how did he explain the words, yani that the believers testify to the truthfulness of this Qur'an, yani as being, as mentioned previously. How does he explain that statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi? Yani Sheikh Fawzan, what is his explanation of that statement? Naam. Fadl. Yeah, Zaki. In any language, no problem, inshallah. If you say it in Spanish, somebody here can translate for us. Yeah, so the Shaykh explains that what is meant by the mu'minun, it means those who believe in Allah and who believe in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also explains that the meaning of them testifying, what they're testifying to, they're testifying to the reality that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who conveyed it, who delivered it, yani to the people, from Allah to the people. Question number 3, who is intended in the 2 ayat, yani in the 81st surah, 19th ayat, yani takwir, and in the 69th surah, 40th ayat, al-haqqa? Who is intended in the 2 ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what has been translated as, indeed, it is the qawl, the word of a noble messenger? Who is intended by this? Ali. Okay, in the first ayat in Surah Al-Taqwiyah, what is intended? The noble messenger is the angel Jibril alayhi salam. Naam. Do you want to add something to that? Or you want to complete the answer? And the second ayat, what is intended by the exact same words, the noble messenger, is the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. And also, yani that's the answer to the question, but we just want to mention here, as the Shaykh mentioned in his commentary, that the reason why in the first ayat, the speech, yani the qawl, is attributed to the angel Jibril, is because he's the one who delivered it. Yani he delivered it from Allah to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the second ayah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the qawl is attributed to him because he is the one who conveyed it to the people. This Quran is the actual real speech of Allah alone. But the angel Jibril conveyed it from him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet conveyed it to the people. Now, question number four, who is being refuted in this fourth part? Who is being refuted in this fourth part of the 33rd statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi by the words bil-haq, bil-haqiqa? And what is their false aqidah being refuted here? Yani in the fourth part of the 33rd statement of Imam Tahawi, he said, وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. Yani they are certain, yani the believers are certain that it is the Quran is the speech of Allah the Most High, بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. So the question is, who is being refuted in these words? Yani that the believers are certain that it is the speech of Allah, بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. Who is being refuted there, and what is their false aqidah that's being refuted here? Naam. Abdul Wali.
The Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila.
The Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila are those who are being refuted here. And what is being refuted is their false aqidah that what? They said what?
They say that it is the word of Allah, but the attribution to Allah is figurative, and that is the attribution to Allah and an attribution of a created being, of a created thing.
Now, so their false belief, and it's important that we understand this, sometimes the language can not be clear. Sometimes that language is not clear. And even though we discussed it last week, maybe somebody wasn't completely focused or wasn't here, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, they use the expression Kalamullah. They say Kalamullah. However, the attribution of the Quran as being the speech of Allah by them, what they mean by that, they mean it figuratively, not literally, majazan, not haqiqiyan. So the Shaykh is saying that they claim that the reason why they can say it's the speech of Allah, even they don't believe Allah spoke this speech, but they can say it's the speech of Allah figuratively, is in the way that you attribute something that's created to its creator. So they're saying Allah created the Quran. So we can say it's the speech of Allah because He created it. And it's important that we at least be aware that there are people saying things like this, because and it still exists today. Question number five. Mention the two types of idhafa, attribution of something to Allah, and how does Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, explain the first one? What are the two types of idhafa? Naam, Ali.
He said that there's two types. One is the attribution of means, and the other is the attribution of objects.
Tayyip. One is the attribution of meanings. Meaning, yani literally it says ma'ani, what is intended by it is sifat, qualities or characteristics. Attributing qualities or characteristics to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's one type of idhafa. Yani attributing qualities or characteristics to Allah. And the second type is attributing objects, yani entities in the creation, things that exist in the creation. So these are the two types. And the first type, yani how does, this is the second part of the question, how does the Shaykh explain the first one? Yani the attribution of ma'ani, yani sifat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, help me with your name.
Kamal.
Kamal. Tayyib. Fadl. Okay, so the first type of attribution is al-ma'ani, as-sifat. So attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, hearing, that Allah hears, and that Allah sees, and that Allah speaks, and so on. This is the attribution of ma'ani, yani sifat, to Allah. That Allah has characteristics and qualities, that He sees, and He hears, and He speaks, and He has power, and so on. This is, yani, the first type of, yani, attribution, or idhafa. Now, the next question, how does Sheikh Saleh Fawzan explain the second type of attribution, or the second type of idhafa? Now, Adam.
The idhafa
A'yan, is that correct?
A'yan, naam.
As him being the, yani the creator, the possessor of a physical thing, yani example was yani the Kaaba is the Bayt
Allah. Kaaba is the Bayt Allah, naam. So the attribution of A'yan, yani physical entities that exist in the creation, attributing it to Allah. In this case, it's the attribution of that which is created to its creator. Because Allah is the only creator. Everything in existence is from the creation of Allah. And this, Naam, you want
to
add?
Yeah, I had the attribution to the one who created it, and is to honor it, and its nobility.
Naam, to show its nobility, or as a means of honoring it. Yani attributing the house, the Kaaba, to Allah, yani calling it the Bayt Allah, is a manner of showing its nobility, its high station or status, yani honoring it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Question number 7, who and what is the false aqidah being refuted here in the fifth part of the 33rd statement, which in the Arabic explanation, Salih Fawzan, it is numbered as 49, and in the English is numbered as 48. So what is, who and what is the false aqidah being refuted here in the fifth part of the 33rd statement of Imam al-Tahawi, and how and why did they fall into this deviation? Well, first of all, what is the fifth part of the 33rd statement? What is it? And what did they say, Ali?
It is not created like the speech of human beings.
The Quran is not created as the speech of human beings or any created being. Their speech is created. The speech of Allah is not created. Tayyib. So who is being refuted here? Naam.
The Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila.
And what is the false speech that is being refuted here? Naam. Yusuf. Yani, what is the false aqidah? What is it that they said that is their false aqidah that's being refuted here? What did they say?
To them, Allah doesn't speak, and they negate Allah's sifat out of fear that they might associate the creation with Allah.
Tayyib. So that's the second part of this answer. The first part is their aqidah, that's false aqidah, is they said that, yes? Fadl. Yeah.
Inshallah, I have it, but they didn't differentiate between the creation.
Actually, what they said is that the Quran is makhluk. Inna al-Quran makhluk. That's what they said. How did they reach this false conclusion? How did they fall into this deviation? Is what Yusuf began to answer to us in four steps. First part of it. Now,
negate Allah's attributes in order to avoid tasbih.
That's the second thing they did. The first part is that,
they said that the Quran is attributed to Allah in the same way that something that's created attributed to Allah.
That's what they said. The Quran is attributed to Allah in the same way that something is created is attributed to its creator. But the problem with them, how they fell into the wrong position, is they said, before negating anything, they actually said that Allah doesn't speak. لا يتكلم. That's the first thing. Why did they say Allah doesn't speak? Negation. Because it's their manhaj to negate Allah's sifat. Why do they negate Allah's sifat? Because they claim they are trying to avoid tashbih. Yani making a resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation. Yani claiming that they're trying to avoid tashbih. As a result of this, they attempted, or their claim to avoid tashbih, they fell into ta'til. Yani the actual negation of Allah's sifat. The way the Shaykh explained it here is important to understand each aspect of what he said. Yani they said that the Quran is created. Why did they say the Quran is created? Because they don't want to attribute it to Allah. Because they don't believe that Allah speaks. Why they don't believe that Allah speaks? Because they negate Allah's sifat. Why do they negate Allah's sifat? They claim they're trying to avoid making a resemblance between Allah speaking and created being speaking. So they don't want to fall into tashbih. And instead of falling into tashbih, they fall into that was worse than it. They actually negate Allah's qualities and characteristics that He has affirmed for Himself. And the final thing that the Shaykh said concerning this is that yani, avoiding tashbih, there was no need to be fearing of falling into tashbih. Why? Because the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the creating beings, yani, there's no resemblance between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ yani, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There's nothing like Him. And while He says there's nothing like Him, nothing resembles Him, nothing is equal to Him, He's also affirming that He is As-Sami' al-Basir, that He hears and He sees. So affirming what Allah has affirmed for Himself is not in contradiction. And you can affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself without making resemblance, because there's nothing like Him aslan, originally anyway. The sifat of the created beings are not like the sifat of Allah. And because they didn't make this distinction, they fell into this error. The last question mentioned the sixth part of the 33rd statement. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan numbers it as 50 in Arabic, and in the English translation it's numbered as 49. The sixth part of the 33rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. What is that statement, and why is it kufr? What is the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi here, the sixth part, and why is it kufr? Naam. Muhsin. Muhsin. Naam. My hearing is poor. Pardon me.
That whoever heard the Quran then claims that this is the speech of a human has fallen into kufr.
Naam. And Imam al-Tahawi says, whoever has heard the Quran and claims that it's the speech of human beings, not the speech of Allah, the speech of human beings, then they have fallen into kufr. Why have they fallen into kufr? What is the kufr here? Naam. Because they have yani denied the Quran. Because they have denied the Quran. Yani Kamal, right? I got that one. A little bit late, but nonetheless, it came. Because they have denied the Quran. Yani because they have denied the Quran. And denial of the Quran is kufr. Now, Ali, you want to add something?
Because
he has rejected the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has denied it. He has denied that it's true. He has not accepted it. For the sake of time, I'm not going to remind us here of the whole discussion related to the Quran being the speech of Allah, except in summary, we know that from the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi that Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizullah, is divided into 9 points. The most important of those points is what? The most important of those points is, how could we summarize what he has said here? Naam.
Can I read?
No, just tell me. What do you think is the most important point? We must know that the Quran is the speech of Allah. What else? What else? What else that's very, very important that we have to acknowledge? Naam. That Allah speaks. Okay, that Allah does speak. We have to affirm that Allah speaks. Anna, what else?
The chain of
that the Quran is revealed. It's sent down. Allah sent it down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, very important point, Imam.
There's no tashbih in affirming.
The Shaykh is saying, Imam Tahawi is saying, there's no tashbih. There's no likening. There's no similarity. There's no comparison between the speech of Allah and the speech of the created being, or the sifat of Allah in general. And another point that we didn't mention yet. Naam, talib. Ghayr makhluq. Naam, that the Quran is not created. So what are we saying? And most of the scholars of Sunnah have summarized it in saying that what? That the Quran is the speech of Allah and it's not created. Remember how we said, as some of the other scholars said, it's the speech of Allah. It began or originated from Him. It originated from Him. That it's real speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I was explaining how. And that He sent it down, yani, as revelation to the Prophet, meaning through the angel Jibril. And then the Shaykh mentions some other points in the course, but the most important thing which perhaps if we have time in the end, we'll look at some of the statements of the scholars of the past, from the first generation of Muslims, is to acknowledge that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and that it's not created. And that it's not created. Because that's really, yani, this is the core of the issue. They said it's not the speech of Allah, and they said it is created. Now, so, I mean, the Shaykh has mentioned several other points, and we're going to look at the rest of the points that remain tonight, the 7th and 8th and 9th point of what Al-Imam At-Tawi says in this statement, in this lengthy statement concerning the Quran being the speech of Allah. So, if we're reading from the Arabic, Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, mentions as point number 51 in English is translated as point number 50. And it's the 7th part of 9 parts, yani, of the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. He says, before that we read last week, the last one we read, whoever hears the Quran and claims that it's the speech of a human being, he has fallen into kufr. Then he follows that by saying, وَقَدْ ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ وَعَابَهُ وَعَوَّعَدَهُ بِسَكْرٍ حَيْثُ قَالَ تَعَالَى سَأُسْلِيهِ سَكْرٍ. Yani, whoever heard the Quran and claims that it's the speech of a human being, he has fallen into kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed that person for making such a false statement. And Allah has criticized that person. And he pointed out the error and the deficiency and the mistake in what they have said. And Allah has threatened that person with punishment in the hellfire. Where Allah says in Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th Surah, 26th Ayat, سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقْر. And either Allah said, I will throw him into the hellfire. Concerning this, point number 51 or 50, as numbered by Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, وَقَدْ ذَمَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ قَالَ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَةِ. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed, has criticized, has condemned anyone who says, who makes this statement. In the ayat, he's talking about a particular person. But the Shaykh is saying, this criticism of the person who this ayat was revealed in reference to is not limited to them. Shaykh is saying what? قَدْ ذَمَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ قَالَ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَةِ. Anyone who makes this statement. فَجَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامَ الْبَشَرِ. Because the person who makes this statement, yani the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened somebody with punishment for, and the Qur'an is the speech of a human being, he said, they have made the Qur'an, yani they have made it as though the Qur'an, yani they have claimed that the Qur'an is the speech of a human being. They have claimed that the Qur'an is the speech of a human being. كما قال الوليد بن مغيرة المخزومي. And this is as, yani was said by الوليد المغيرة المخزومي. And he was from the major personalities of the disbelievers of Mecca. He was from there. Yani, important leaders. And they named him Zahratu Mecca. Yani, Zahra Mecca. Yani, the flower of Mecca. Due to the place or the position or the station of honor that he had amongst them. What is important about Al-Walid is that he was a leader of the people of the Quraysh of Mecca. And when he heard the Quran, he understood that this wasn't the speech of human beings. But his people, they weren't going for that. They was not going to accept that. The Shaykh says, so when Al-Walid heard the Qur'an from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَعْجَبَهُ, and he was amazed by it. He was in wonder at its beauty and its greatness. And he knew that it wasn't the speech of a human being. And he praised the Qur'an. And the Shaykh says, he said, this, what he heard from the Prophet ﷺ, is not poetry. It's not magic. He said, I know all types of poetry and all types of magic and all types of fortune telling. And I know this, that, and the other. And he's saying, I know about this stuff. I know what magic is. I know what poetry is. This is not any of that. He said, this Quran is not one of those things. It's not from those things. This is something actually very different. He's a leader, yani one of the foremost people of the pagans of Mecca, and he's acknowledging that the Quran is not the speech of a human being. فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ تَوَجَّهَ إِلَيْهِ قَوْمُهُ الْكُفَّارِ بِالتَّوْبِيخِ وَتَعْنِيفِ. So when the disbelievers in Mecca heard their leader saying this, praising the Quran, and saying this is not the speech of a human being, this is not poetry, this is not magic, not any of that kind of stuff, then they scolded him, they rebuked him harshly, severely, because ma'ana hadha annahu i'taraf lil rasul alayhi salatu wasalam bir risalah. Because him saying this about the Quran means that he's acknowledging for the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this Quran that he claims is revealed to him, that he's actually, it's true, this is not from a human being. He's acknowledging the risalah, the message or the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So his people scolded him severely, harshly, stern rebuke, because they understood that if he goes around saying this and he's the leader of the people are going to follow him. The pagans of Mecca are going to accept Islam if he's going around saying that this Quran is revelation from Allah. So they became very concerned about it. And when he saw the way they scolded him, the way they reprimanded him harshly, severely, فَلَمَّا رَأَى ذَلِكَ انْحَرَفَ وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ بِالْكَلَامِ. So when he saw that his people was not going for this, the other leaders of the Quraysh, they was like, nah, you can't be going around saying that. Then he deviated from what he said previously, and he changed what he was saying about the Quran. So he said, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. This is no more than the speech of a human being. This is in Surah 2, Al-Mudathir, 74th Surah, 25th Ayah. Then Allah revealed. Then Allah sent down these following ayats from Surah Al-Mudathir, 18th ayah to the 25th ayah. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. Talking about Al-Walid, that he thought about this matter, about the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran that was revealed to him. He thought about the matter, وَقَدَّرَ, and he assessed it within himself. When he heard the Quran, he realized that it's not the speech of a human being. But then when the other leaders rebuked him, then he had to figure out what to do now. I can't go that way, so he had to switch up. Allah says, فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ. Some of the scholars of tafsir said the meaning of قُتِلَ قَاتَلَهُ اللَّهُ, may Allah destroy him, may Allah punish him, may the curse of Allah be upon him. For him realizing that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and then switching up. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ, then he looked again, he considered, what can he make up? What can he say to retract from the position that he had espoused earlier, that this is not poetry, this is not magic, this is not the saying of a madman? What can he do? What can he say? ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَصَرَ, so he frowned and scowled. He showed in his face displeasure and even anger because of the position that he was in now, having to retract the position that he had expressed earlier about his amazement with the Quran, and to say something else. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَخْبَرَ. So he turned away, from the truth that he recognized, and he acted proudly. فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. And he said, this is only magic. يُؤْثَرُ, the scholars of tafsir say, مَنْقُولُ or نُقِلَ or يَنْقُولُ, something that he got that was conveyed to him from others, some other people. It was just magic that he conveyed. He was narrating from somebody else. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. This is no more than the speech of a human being. And then Allah revealed, سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقَر, I will throw him into the hellfire, and the sakr is the nar. This man recognized the Quran for what it really was. Him being a leader of the Quraysh, they scolded him and reprimanded him and rebuked him harshly to make him turn back from what he was saying, so that the people wouldn't follow him and enter into Islam. So he switched up, he flipped, as they say, and he came out with something new, which is the cause of him being punished in the hellfire. الإمام التهاوي says فلما أوعد الله بسكر لمن قال إن هذا إلا قول البشر علمنا وأيقنا أنه قول خالق البشر. يعني so when Allah or since Allah threatened with the hellfire whoever says that this is no more than the speech of a human being, يعني that this is not the speech of Allah, this is the speech of a human being, speech of a human being is created. Yani when Allah threatened with the hellfire, whoever says that, we came to know and we are certain that it is indeed the speech of the creator of human beings. If Allah threatened with hellfire, the person who says this is the speech of human beings, then we know for sure it's not the speech of human beings. Rather, it is the speech of the creator of human beings. وَلَا يُشْبِهُ قَوْلَ الْبَشَرِ. In the next point he says, and it doesn't resemble, yani this Quran, it doesn't resemble the speech of human beings. The Shaykh comments on these final two points from Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, yani since Allah threatened with the hellfire, whoever says this is the speech of a human being, then we know and we are certain that it is not the speech of a human being. Rather, it's the speech of the creator of the human being, and this speech does not resemble the speech of human beings. Shaykh says, whoever said, whoever it might be that says the Quran is not the speech of Allah, and there are various groups that identify themselves as Muslims, from the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila to the Ash'ariyah and Maturidiyah and others besides them, who are saying various explanations of what, and how they believe in the Quran, all amounting to the same thing, that it's not the speech of Allah that is created. Shaykh is saying, so whoever says that the Quran is not the speech of Allah, and that it is the speech of a human being, or an angel, or the angel, yani Jibril, then the person who says that, by whatever language they use, whoever says the Quran is not the speech of Allah, and that it's the speech of a human being, or the speech of an angel, of the angel, then he is like Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira. The Shaykh says, so what is the difference between the one who says this and Al-Walid? What is the difference between this one and that one? He said, there's no difference between them, except that one of them, any of these people, are claiming that they are claiming Islam. And they're claiming to be Muslims. And Al-Walid, he didn't claim Islam. He didn't claim to be a Muslim. That's the only difference. They claim Islam, and he didn't claim Islam. But the claim of Islam is not sufficient for indeed إن كفر بالقرآن لم ينفعه ادعاء الإسلام. If a person disbelieves in the Quran, and he disbelieves that the Quran is the speech of Allah and that it's not created, if a person disbelieves in that, then the claim to Islam, a person identifying themselves as a Muslim, will not benefit them. And that's because this is ridda, it's apostasy. It takes a person out of Islam to make this kind of statement, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. And the Shaykh concludes, he says, فَبَيِّنَ بِهَذَا أَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ فَتَبَيِّنَ أَنْ بِهَذَا أَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْإِعْتِرَافِ بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حَقِيقَةً. So it becomes clear from this that it is a necessity, it's mandatory, it is a must that we acknowledge that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah in reality, not figuratively, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah in reality. Yani from this, Allah threatening with the hellfire the person who claims that the Quran is the speech of a human being or the angel Jibril, that it's not the speech of Allah that is created. We know from this then that we must acknowledge, a Muslim must know and must acknowledge that the Quran is the speech of Allah in reality, not figuratively, but literally. And the Shaykh also says, and that it doesn't resemble the speech of human beings. He said, if it was so, that this speech, the Qur'an, was the speech of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there would be no blame on Al-Walid, Al-Mughayra, yani for him saying the Qur'an is the speech of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If this speech was the speech of the Messenger, there would be no blame on Walid. So why then would Allah threaten him with this very severe punishment of hellfire? The fact that Allah threatens him with the punishment of hellfire, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَقَالَ عَظِيمًا فَضِيعًا حَيْثُ نَسَبَ الْقُرْآنَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And the fact that Allah promises to punish a person in the hellfire for saying this, for saying that the Quran is the speech of the messenger, or the speech of the angel, or the speech of a human being, or that it's not the speech of Allah. The fact that Allah threatens a person with hellfire, this indicates to us that this person has said, yani, a maqala azima fadhi'a, yani, a statement that is terrible, that is horrible, that is repulsive. He has said something horrible. What is it? Yani, why is it horrible? Nasaba al-Qur'an li ghayrillah. It's horrible because he has attributed the Qur'an to other than Allah. That's horrible. That's abhorrent. That's detestable. That's disgusting. Attributing the speech of Allah to other than Allah. Naam. So every person who travels on this madhab and this manhaj, yani on this path, on this way, this methodology, فَإِنَّهُ مِثْلَ الْوَلِيدِ إِبْنِ مُغِيرَةِ يَكُونُ فِي النَّارِ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Every person who travels on this same path, who takes this position, who holds this aqidah, knowingly, willingly, and he consciously knowing what it is, then this person, and he is like al-Walid, and he will be in the hellfire, remaining in it for eternity. At the end, inshallah, hopefully we'll have time, I want to discuss just briefly, any the issue of takfir, takfir aini and takfir wasfi. Yani, and we want to be careful, in case I don't have time, to note that there's a difference between describing a person with kufr, because they make a statement of kufr, or because they do an action of kufr. There's a difference between describing a person, yani, that he has done an action of kufr, or he has stated a statement of kufr. There's a difference between that and declaring a particular specific individual that he is a kafir. There's a difference. And this is a topic that requires some time. We may not have time to discuss it, but I want to warn us now that this statement, that the person who says this is a kafir, that they have fallen into kufr, yani, is with yani some consideration. Yani, did the person make this statement under compulsion? Like Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhum. And he was compelled by the pagans after they killed his mother and his father. They told him, you better say this or we'll kill you. And he said it. And he went to the Prophet, said, and the Prophet said, did you believe that in your heart what you said? He said, no, I was compelled. He said, then you're okay. There's a difference between a person who's compelled to say something, or who says something mistakenly, not knowing what they're saying, yani in error, not intending, yani kufr. There's a difference between that person, yani the person who is ignorant. There's a difference between that person and the person who consciously, knowingly, willingly makes the statement of kufr. That person is the one that is a kafir that will be in the hellfire eternity. Otherwise, yani the issue of takfir requires some discussion, and we may not have time to discuss it in the end. So I just want to say that at least be aware that there's a difference between declaring a particular specific individual because of a statement they made or an action that they did to say that person is a kafir. So there are conditions that have to be fulfilled, and there are prohibitive factors, mawani, that have to be absent before you can declare a specific particular individual as a kafir. Otherwise, we're saying that whoever says this is a kafir, naam, as the Shaykh is saying here. Whoever says this is a kafir, whoever does that is a kafir. But that doesn't mean we're saying now somebody came and we heard him say, he's a kafir. Yani, this guy, whatever, I don't want to mention anybody's name, somebody might have that name here. Yani, this guy so-and-so, he's a kafir. Because we heard him saying that. No, that's not how it works. Okay, so this is a topic that we need to learn more about before we start making takfir on people. Before we do that, before we say, yeah, this guy's a kafir, I heard it in the class. Whoever says that's a kafir, he's a kafir. You know the guy over there in the corner? Yeah, he's a kafir. No, we don't do that. Alright, so please be careful from this. And, you know, I felt like it's a necessity that I have to say something about this. Otherwise, I don't want somebody to go away and say something, yani, mistakenly, and that's very dangerous. The issue of takfir, declaring people, Muslims, to be kafirs, is a dangerous matter. And in any case, it's not our responsibility. So even, yani, if the conditions are fulfilled and the prohibited factors are absent, it's not our job anyway, so why even put yourself in that position? Leave that to the scholars, if that has to be done for someone. Okay, so the end of what the Shaykh is saying here, yani, actually this is like sort of connected to the topic of the Quran being the speech of Allah, and that yani, the speech of Allah is not like the speech of any anything in the, of the created beings. Imam al-Tahawi connects to it the point that none of the characteristics of Allah, and Allah should never be described with descriptions that are descriptions of human beings, with the qualities or characters of human beings. He says, in general, and this is the 34th statement of Imam al-Tahawi, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered it as 54, and in English is 53. He said, وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهِ بِمَعْنَى مِنْ مَعَانِي الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. And whoever describes Allah with any of the meanings, meaning the qualities or characteristics of human beings, whoever describes Allah with any of the qualities or characteristics of human beings, he has fallen into kufr. And this is like what would be said before, whoever says the Quran is created, he has fallen into kufr. So whoever describes Allah with any quality or characteristic, speech or other than that, that's like human beings, and whoever says that, then they have fallen into kufr. The Shaykh says, يَعْنِي مَنْ شَبَّحَ اللَّهَ بِمَعْنَى مِنْ مَعَانِي الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ لِأَنَّهُ تُنْقِسُ أَوْ تُنَقِّسُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said the meaning is that whoever resembles, whoever declares there's some similarity or resemblance, with the meanings or the qualities of characteristics of the human beings to Allah, that there's some resemblance in the qualities or characteristics of Allah, this person has fallen into kufr, and that is because he has, he has considered Allah to be defective, to be imperfect, to be inferior. If he describes Allah with the quality or characteristics of human beings, then he is declaring Allah to be imperfect, because human beings are imperfect, inferior, defective. Now, and then he says in the final points of this 34th statement, فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ هَذَا اِعْتَبَرَ وَعَنْ مِثْلِ قَوْلِ الْكُفَّارِ انْزَجَرَ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بِصِفَاتِهِ لَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرَ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ هَذَا اِعْتَبَرَ. So whoever sees, whoever reflects on this matter, making a resemblance in the qualities or characteristics of the human beings with Allah, and he's making a resemblance between Allah's qualities and characteristics. Whoever reflects on this matter and understands, comprehends this issue, that there's no resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation, اعتبر, then that person will take the lesson. They will get the point. They will understand what's happening here. They will understand this issue. وَأَنْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِ الْكُفَّارِ انْزَجَرَ. Then that person will refrain and abstain from the like of the sayings or the speech of the disbelievers. And a person who understands this issue, he will get the point, and they will abstain from this kind of speech of the disbelievers, the way they speak Allah about Allah falsely. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بِصِفَاتِهِ لَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرِ. And they will know, for sure, they will know that Allah with His sifat is not like the human being. Allah's sifat are not like the sifat of the human being. The Shaykh says concerning the first of these three parts of this statement, أَنْ أَبْصَرَ هَذَا اَعْتَبَرَ, he says, the person who comprehends, who reflects and comprehends and understands what's being said here, he said, then they will, they will act upon it. They will act like they understand, and they will make a distinction between the qualities of Allah and the qualities of the created beings. And that's because لِأَنَّ هُنَاكَ فَرْقًا وَاضِحًا بَيْنَ صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. Why will a person get the point, understand the lesson, take heed, and abstain from the speech of the disbelievers? Why? Because there's a clear difference between the qualities and characteristics of the Creator and the qualities and characteristics of the created beings. Even if the ism and the ma'na are shared, meaning the word, the name that's used, hearing, sight, power, whatever, that quality or that description, the word that's being used for it is the same word. Human beings see and Allah sees. Human beings have power and Allah has power. Even though the word is the same and the meaning of power is the same, the meaning, it's power, yes, it's sight, it's hearing. وَلَكِنْ تَخْتَلِفْ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ. But, that quality or that characteristic differs in reality. The quality or the characteristic or the description of the human being having knowledge differs from the quality or the characteristic of Allah's knowledge. And it differs in reality. It's not the same. تختلف في الواقع والخارج. يعني its reality and it's even its appearance, the appearance of Allah's يعني qualities and characteristics are different than the qualities and characteristics of the human being. And then the Shaykh says, so there's no resemblance. فلا تشابه. There's no resemblance between the speech of Allah and the speech of the human beings. And there's no resemblance between the hearing of Allah and the hearing of the human beings. And there's no resemblance between the sight of Allah and the sight of human beings. And there's no resemblance between the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of the human beings. Or the will of Allah and the will of human beings. فَفَرَّكَ بَيْنَ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يُفَرِّكْ بَيْنَهُمَا صَارَ كَافِرًا. So whoever understands this matter, the Shaykh is saying, اعتبر. Yani they will understand the point. They will get the lesson, and therefore they will make a distinction between the sifat of Allah, the qualities and characteristics and descriptions of Allah. They will make a distinction between them and the qualities or characteristics or the yani descriptions of the created beings. And whoever doesn't make a distinction between the two, the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings, this person has become a kafir. And again, and we want to say that a person, yani, who's ignorant, who doesn't know, has to be educated. And if a person is saying that it's our responsibility, yani the establishment, yani iqamat al-hujjah, on the person who's making a statement of kufr, establishing the proof against them, is bringing them evidences that this is actually kufr, bringing them proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. Before a person should be declared a kafir, first they have to be shown. Maybe the person is ignorant. Maybe they don't know. And the evidence should be presented. And the shubuhat, the doubtful matters or the ambiguities that a person may have in their mind concerning these affairs, a person might be confused, has to be clarified. Be first. Yani those are conditions that have to be taken care of before a person can be declared a kafir. Maybe he just doesn't know. He's ignorant. Most of the people today don't know. And most of the Muslims don't know today about Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat and some of these finer issues. And even well-known basic issues, people don't know. So the Shaykh says, so the person who understands this, who sees it, who comprehends, they will abstain from the speech of the disbelievers. He said, whoever reflected upon the ayats of the Qur'an, which have been sent down concerning Al-Walid ibn Mughira, whoever reflects upon these ayats will know and recognize the falsehood of the sayings, the opinions of these deviant sects concerning the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani, that the speech of Allah is hikayah, that the speech of Allah is ibarah, that the speech of Allah is all these things that they try to say to deny that it's actually Allah's speech, a person will know that all of this is falsehood. It will become crystal clear. And finally, the Shaykh says, and they will know that the sifat, that Allah with his sifat is not like the created being, or is not like the human being. He said, sifatuhu min al-kalam wa ghayrihi laysat ka sifat al-bashar lil-farq bayna sifat al-khaliq wa sifat al-makhluq. So Allah's sifat, his qualities and characteristics, including speech and other than that, his sifat are not like the sifat of human beings or any created being, due to the difference between the sifat of Allah, who is divine and perfect, and the sifat of the human beings who are imperfect. Now, so this is what we wanted to cover for today, and with the few minutes that's remaining, inshallah, I promised last week to read some of the statements of the scholars of the past from this book, Idham al-Minna fi Jam Aqaid A'immat al-Sunnah. A collection of the creeds of the imams of the people of Sunnah. And here, in this particular chapter related to the Quran being the speech of Allah, the Shaykh mentions 12 different scholars. The first of them, Sufyan al-Thawri. We're not going to be able to read all of them, but we'll take a few minutes from the time of between the Adhan and the Iqamah. The first of them is Sufyan al-Thawri, who died in the year 161, one of the greatest scholars of the people of Sunnah. Yani, outright, without any discussion. He died in the year 161, which means in the, and he just passed the middle of the second century. And he goes on to mention like as I mentioned, several other scholars. The last of them he mentions is Al-Imam At-Tabari, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir. The Imam of the scholars of Tafsir, who died in the year 310 and in the beginning of the 4th century. So he went from Imam Sufyan Al-Thawri in the middle of the 2nd century to Al-Imam At-Tabari, the beginning of the 4th century, and he mentioned any 12 scholars. In between them, he mentioned the Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Who's the Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith? Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Yani the Amir, the leader of the believers in the science of Hadith. That's a... you you bailed him out. That was the impermissible bailout. Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Yani just like Imam al-Tabari is the Imam of the Mufassirin, Imam Bukhari is Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He mentioned so many scholars, but we don't have time to mention all of them. We'll just mention a few of them. So I'm going to read just briefly from a couple of the scholars. The first scholar I'm going to read from is Al-Imam, the first one that he mentions, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. And if we read the biographies of these scholars, you will be, yani, fascinated. You will be absolutely fascinated. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he says, Al-Qur'an kalamullah, ghayru makhluk. منه بدأ وإليه يعود ومن قال غير هذا فهو كافر. Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, the Quran is the speech of Allah. It's not created. All the scholars of Sunnah saying the same thing. Little different wording here and there. Somebody mentioned a extra point, but basically saying the same thing. Quran is the speech of Allah. It's not created. It originated from Him and it will return to Him. And return to Him, the scholars said, it means that Allah will remove the Quran from the earth, yani from the hearts of the human beings and from the masahif, the printed copies of Quran. Whoever says other than this is a kafir. Whoever says other than this is a kafir. Yani with the conditions and the prohibited factors being considered. The second scholar I want to read from is Abu Thawr, yani Ibrahim ibn Khalid, who died in the year 240, yani almost the same time as Imam Ahmed. He says, a man was sent to him from the people of Khorasan with a letter. And in it, it contained وَسَأَلْتَ عَنَ الصَّلَاةِ خَوْفَ مَنْ يَقُولُ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ. He said, you asked about the prayer behind a man who says the Qur'an is created. He said, فَهَذَا كَافِرٌ بِقَوْلِهِ. This person, by this statement, is a kafir. And he should not be prayed behind. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ لا اختلاف فيه بين أهل العلم. Why is he a kafir and you should not pray behind him? Because the Quran is the speech of Allah. And there's no difference among the people of knowledge, the scholars of Islam, from the people of Sunnah. ومن قال, and I want to read a footnote here concerning this, no اختلاف amongst the أهل العلم, the people of Sunnah. And whoever says, كلام الله مخلوق فقد كفر. He says, Abu Thawr, he says, whoever says the speech of Allah is created, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He has fallen into kufr, and he has claimed وَزَعَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَدَثَ فِيهِ شَيْءٌ لَمْ يَكُنْ. He has disbelieved, and he has claimed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something has occurred to him, something happened to him that wasn't there before. Yani speech was created, that there wasn't speech, and then Allah created speech. He said, whoever says this, then that person has entered into kufr, because he's claiming something new has occurred to Allah. There's some change that has taken place that wasn't there before. And before I go to the commentary on there's no ikhtilaf, I want to go to the next imam in case we run out of time. He said, and maybe we already run, no, not yet, a few minutes. The next imam that I want to read from is Al-Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, who died in the year 241. Almost the same time as Abu Thawr, rahimahullah, he said, and he has a little bit longer, I'm not going to read the whole thing that he said, but he said, وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوكِ. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it's not created. وَلَا تَضْعُفْ أَن تَقُولَ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوكِ. And don't be too weak to say the Qur'an is not created. And he said the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, and it's not created. فَإِنَّ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مِنْهُ. It's not created. Why? Because the speech of Allah is from Him. It's from Allah. It's from Allah. لَيْسَ بِبَعَنْ مِنْهُ. It's not something separate from Him. وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ مَخْلُوكٍ. And there's no part of Allah. There's nothing of Allah that's created. There's nothing of Allah that's created. And the fifth Imam that I want to read from is Ibn Abi Hatim. And he's the son of the great scholar of Hadith, Abu Hatim. And Ibn Abi Hatim was a great scholar of Hadith himself. And so Abu Zur'a, and he mentions from his father Abu Hatim and his uncle Abu Zur'a, rahimahumullah, in the I'tiqad al-Raziyain, yani the aqidah of the two scholars from Razi, yani Abu Hatim and Abu Zur'a. He said, they said, وَالْقُرْآنِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقُ بِجَمِيعِ جِهَاتِهِ, yani that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, and it's not created from any angle that you look at it. And they also said, yani Abu Hatim and Abu Zur'a, rahimahumullah, they said, وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مَخْلُوقُ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمُ كُفْرًا يَنْقُلْ عَنْ الْمِلَّةِ. He said, they said that whoever claims that the Qur'an is created, then he is a kafir. He's a disbeliever in Allah al-Azim. And this kufr is kufr that takes a person completely out of Islam. Not kufr duna kufr. This is kufr that takes a person out of Islam. And he also mentioned here, I didn't want to read this, but I think I need to read it because there's a point here. وَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي كُفْرِهِ مِنْ مَنْ يَفْهَمْ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. مِنْ مَنْ يَفْهَمْ is an important word that he said here. They said, whoever doubts in the kufr of that person who says the Quran is created, somebody doubts that they're actually a kafir, he said, from those who understand, not from the people who are ignorant, who don't know what they're saying, but from those who understand, if a person doubts the kufr of them people, then he himself also is a kafir. And he went on to say, وَمَنْ وَقَفَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ جَاهِلًا عُلِّمْ, yani, and the person who takes a position, I don't know if it's created or not created. He said, that person, if they took that position out of ignorance, they should be taught. And this is another point that I want to make here, that he's saying that there are conditions and there are prohibited factors. The person doesn't know, they have to be taught. And then the last thing that I want to read here, so we're going to take 10 minutes from the adhan, from the between the adhan and the comma. Last thing I want to read here, a footnote concerning Abu Thawr saying, لا اختلاف فيه بين أهل العلم. There's no difference of opinion amongst the scholars of the people of Sunnah concerning the reality that the Quran is the speech of Allah. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, he says, مذهب سلف الأمة وأئمتها من الصحابة والتابعين لهم بإحسان والسائر أئمة المسلمين كالأئمة الأربعة وغيرهم. يعني the madhab of the Salaf, the predecessors of this ummah, and the madhab of its imams, the imams of this ummah, starting from the companions and the tabi'een who followed them with ihsan and goodness and righteousness, and the rest of the imams and the Muslims, like the four imams, yani Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi and Ahmed. He said the madhab of the Salaf of this ummah and its imams from amongst the Sahaba and the tabi'een, and the imams of the Muslims in general, like the four imams and other than them, their madhab is ما دل عليه الكتاب والسنة. Their madhab is what is indicated in the book and the sunnah, what is proven by evidence from the book and the sunnah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُوَافِقُ الْأَدِلَّ الْعَقْلِيَ الصَّرِيحَ. And their madhab that's proven by the Quran and sunnah is what is in agreement with clear rational evidences. And even from any intellectual perspective, it's what's proven from clear rational evidences. And that is that what? And the Quran kalamullah munazzalun ghayr makhluq. That the Quran is the speech of Allah, it has been revealed from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's not created. Minhu bada wa ilayhi ya'ud. It originated from him and it will return to him. Fahuwa al-mutakallim bil Quran. Wa Tawrah wal Injil. Allah is the one who spoke the words of the Quran, the Torah, and the Injil, and other than that, from his speech. لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ مَخْلُوقًا. And this speech, none of it is created. مُنْفَصِلًا عَنْهُ. None of it is separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ يَتَكَلَّمْ بِمَشِيَتِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ. And he speaks, yani based upon his will, when he wills to speak, and based upon his power and ability. فَكَلَامُهُ قَائِمًا بِذَاتِهِ لَيْسَ مَخْلُوقًا بَائِنًا عَنْهُ. So his speech is a part of him, yani it's established with himself, and it is not something that's created that's separate from him. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks when he wills and based upon his ability. لَمْ يَقُلْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ السَّلَفِ مِنْ سَلَفَ الْأُمَّةِ إِنَّ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مَخْلُوقٌ بَاعٍ عَنْهُ. And no one from amongst the Salaf of this Ummah, the early generations of this Ummah, no one of them said that the Qur'an is created and that is something separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of what we wanted to present for tonight, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand the importance of this particular issue. A person needs to read more about it, read other books, any of the books of the scholars, Al-Imam Ahmed's book, any Usul al-Sunnah, or yani the other books of Aqeedah from yani Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, Aqeedah Wasatiyah, and other books of Aqeedah. A person needs to read those books, and even from the contemporary scholars and the explanation of the earlier books, a person needs to read those books to learn the Aqeedah in general, but especially some of these points about which there's a lot of controversy and a lot of deviation, and the matter is serious. And the matter is serious. Because we heard all of these scholars from the second generation, from the second century, and the third century and the fourth century, the likes of Al-Imam al-Tabari and the likes of Imam Bukhari and other than them, saying that whoever makes this statement that the Qur'an is not the speech of Allah, or that the Qur'an is created, they have fallen into kufr. And by this we mean they have made a statement that is a statement of kufr. And it doesn't mean that we are saying that that person is a kafir, yani, until the conditions, yani, that are required to be fulfilled before a person is declared to be a kafir, like the proofs have to be established, and the things, the ambiguities, the shubuhat have to be made clear, and so on. And until those conditions are fulfilled and the prohibited factors are absent, then we don't make takfir, yani aini. We don't make takfir on a particular specific individual without fulfilling the conditions and removing the prohibited factors. Otherwise, we're just saying that the person who says such and such is a kafir, and the person who does such and such action is a kafir, if that speech, that statement, or those actions are indicated in the Quran and in the Sunnah to be kufr. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with the authentic Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and pardon, and forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that Allah grant us al-thabat, steadfastness upon Sirat al-Mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to protect them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims, men, women, and children, who are being slaughtered, who are murdered and persecuted in Palestine, in Yemen, in Sudan, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in the Kafir countries, in India, in China, in Burma, and wherever they may be, in any land. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them relief. Indeed, Allah is the one from whom help is sought. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, after the Salat, yani those who are able to stay, inshallah, we're going to have some light refreshments, and perhaps yani some further discussion or clarification of some of the things that we may have mentioned tonight. Naam.